turn in the scriptures today to Luke chapter 23. Praise God. I'm going to talk to you today about the three crosses. Some say there were more, but there were lots of people that were crucified under the Roman rule. But today, or this day, or the day that this happened, there were three crosses. In Luke chapter 23, verse 33, when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. He himself cannot let him save himself. He is the chosen Christ, the chosen of God." Verse 36, the soldiers also mocked him, and coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the king of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you're the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you're under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today, and I pray that you'd open our heart to the truth of Scripture as we explore the word of God together. May your Holy Spirit make it real, as only you can do. And talk to the heart of every person, as only you can do, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have here in our study today three crosses that I want to deal with. I've got the points of the message on the bulletin board, which I usually don't do, but anyway, I did today. And so it's hard to believe, but it was just another day in Jerusalem. Roman oppression was common. Sadly, crucifixion was common. There were lots of people crucified, not just these three that we'll talk about today. If you crossed Rome or threatened Rome in any way, the means of execution was crucifixion. It was bad. In this day, three crosses would be carried up Golgotha. We don't know where Golgotha really was. Nobody really knows exactly where it was today. They have speculation. But then it was a place of execution. But this day would be different. Those three crosses represented all peoples. There's people that reject what Jesus did on the cross. Call that the cross of rejection. There was a man on the middle cross, greater than any man that ever lived. He was not just a man, he was God. Cross of redemption, where Jesus paid for our sins. Last of all, there was a cross of reception, where one dying thief called on the Lord, and God had mercy on this dying soul. Let's look first of all at the cross of rejection. You know, and he was mocked by one of the thieves. Both of them mocked him at one place, but the other one changed his mind gladly. Verse 39, he says, "If you be the Christ, if you're who you say you are, then save yourself and save us." And here Jesus had spent 3 years upon this earth preaching, 33 years actually, talking and preaching and proclaiming the kingdom of God, who never committed one sin or did anything wrong, and he certainly did not deserve to die as a common criminal, for he was not a criminal. He came to save people's souls, not to destroy people's lives. But they cried out, "Save yourself and save us. Deliver us from this cross." And the man that on the cross of rejection, he did not truly seek for salvation. He didn't ask for deliverance from his sins. He didn't ask, "God, forgive me for what I've done by being a thief among all the peoples that I robbed and killed and stolen from." He, like many today, just wanted temporary relief. And there was no true repentance or regret for his sinful life, which is opposite what the Scripture says. The Bible does say that godly sorrow produces repentance, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world produces death. The sorrow of the world is just sorry they got caught. But true repentance leads us to godly sorrow, where we're sorry to God for our sins. This man on this cross, he was not sorry for his sins. He didn't want redemption in any way. He just wanted to be done and be down from the cross and free from the suffering that crucifixion brought. And so it was a cross of rejection. Not only did the thief here reject Christ, but as a nation, the Jews rejected Christ. They had seen his miracles. I don't know how they could see the miracles of Jesus and not believe, but many did not believe, especially the religious crowd didn't. There were many that dead and were saved. Dead and were saved. They had more light than any people ever knew. More light of salvation, more revelation of God than any people ever. Yet they remained stubborn, obstinate, the same as their fathers in the wilderness. The sin of unbelief. They would not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed maybe he was a good man or a teacher who gained a lot of attention, but they did not believe he was Emmanuel, God with us. They did not believe he was the Son of God. For to be in that day, to be someone's son, was to be equal with the Father. And Jesus was and is equal. And Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternal, neither never began and will never end. They're God. Praise the Lord. And so the Jews had seen his miracles, yet the sin of unbelief prevailed. Did not believe he was the Son of God. This falls in the way of many people today. They may believe there is a God, and they may believe a lot of things, believe there's eternity, but many people do not believe that there's a God that they will face one day. They do not believe that they have given account, will have to give an account for their lives, the way they've lived. They do not believe that what God did through his Son Jesus could give them salvation and eternal life. They may not believe that. So unbelief prevails much in our world today. But I want to tell you, let me sound it loud and clear. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He rose again from the dead. We must believe that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he was rejected by one of the thieves. He was rejected somewhat by the Jews as a nation. And he will not be eternally rejected by the Jews. One day he will come. They'll look upon him whom they pierced and cry out for one and mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. That's his second coming. Not only was he rejected by the Jews, he was rejected by the Romans. The iron legs of Rome had one thing in mind, that was world dominion. And whatever they said pretty much went. And the heathens of the Rome, they ruled with force and cruelty. And they rejected him. Verse 36 of our text, the soldiers also mocked him in coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "You, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. If you're really who you say you are, then you can come down the cross and then we're going to believe you." They wouldn't have. But he's rejected by the Romans. And sadly, he is rejected by people today with numerous testimonies, even right here in our own congregation, of sin, of deliverance from sin and evil things and habits of all kinds. Still, many fail to acknowledge their sinful lifestyle and only want temporary relief, but have no plans to turn from their pursuit of sin to the pursuit of the things of God. So all people fall into that if they reject Christ today. So it was a cross of rejection. Even in his dying hour, the thief here had no place for God, no remorse and no repentance for his sins. People today reject Christ. They shouldn't. But they have no time. They always say, "I'll get to that later." Or when I'm on my deathbed, I'll cry out to God. But you don't know that you'll have any time. People die suddenly without previous warning. Years ago, my dad farmed next to a person that was a good man. He was a good farmer and everything, and he and dad shared, you know, all what you can share as being a farmer. They broke land together. They didn't plow in the same field, but they were neighbors. But This man came to the time when he was to die later on in life, and he was not a violent man, but he drank all of his life, not Kool-Aid. But he drank all of his life, poured alcohol into his system all of his life, and he came where he would be on his deathbed. And this is a true story. And they offered to get him somebody to come and pray with him. And he said, no. He said, I don't want to talk to anybody about the Bible or about God, and I don't want no preacher here. I want to die just like I am. And to my knowledge, unless something happened that was not said or heard, he died the way he lived, without God and rejecting Jesus Christ. That's an awful way to leave this world. A terrible way. And some people today have no time for prayer or worship. Some hold on to the, well, I was saved when I was 14 and I signed the church roll at the altar. I never repented, but I was saved. And once I was saved, I was always saved. Yet they haven't darkened a church house door in years. Have no heart for God, no appreciation for the sacrifice of Christ. They are lost. They have rejected the Savior. My friend, he took time for you. Have you taken time for him? Will your life be one of rejection or one of reception? One of giving God first place in your life or just pushing God aside? My friend, everybody will do something with Jesus Christ. One of two things, either receive him or reject him. So you don't want to be one with the cross of rejection. There is something different about this one today on the middle cross. I believe everybody knew it. And even at his death, even one of the centurions, Roman centurions, would say, surely this man was the Son of God. But between the two thieves was one hanging on the middle cross, a Savior. And this was a cross of redemption, we'll call it. And Jesus was completely sinless, born to save people from their sins. As a matter of fact, he was named Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. God is salvation. And sin must be paid for. God's holy nature will not overlook sin. It must be dealt with. And that's where people get scared, because they don't want to deal with things that they've done in their past or things that come up to their mind they don't want to deal with. But friend, you got to deal with it, because God's going to deal with your sin. And God graciously and wondrously provides a way of compassion to deal with your sin. And so God's holy nature will not overlook sin. Amen. There's going to come a day when God will judge in righteousness for the one who's raised from the dead, Christ. Substitution in the Old Testament, throughout Scripture, is taught. In the Old Testament, lambs, goats, bulls, animals offered in the place of the sinner, and the blood was shed from an innocent animal in order to atone for the sins of guilty people. But those sacrifices could never fully atone for sin, because it had to be perfect, sinless blood from a human. The only way for that to happen was for God to become a man and to step down into humanity. I don't know how he left the glories of heaven, the power of heaven, and the holiness of heaven to come down here and dwell among sinful men, but I'm glad that he did. He chose to do what he did. He said, I have the authority to lay down my life, and I have the authority to pick it up again. When he did both. Amen. So substitution is taught throughout Scripture. Jesus knew what he came to do. He came to redeem mankind from sin. He came to die. He didn't come to win a popularity contest. He said, I want to see how far I can move these people. I want to see what a great champion I can become among the people. He didn't do that. He came to die and to pay the price for my sin years. That's why he came. He knew all of his life. That's what he came to do. He came to redeem mankind from sin, to take the penalty for our sins. He came to buy back the sinner from the slavery of sin. Amen. He didn't come here to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. That day Jesus shed his blood for those who crucified him, for you and for I, and for whosoever. The innocent dying for the guilty. He prayed for the soldiers, and he prayed for you and I. Can you imagine those that drove spikes through his wrist and his hands, he prayed for them and said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." They didn't know they were crucifying the Son of God, and yet, as blood flowed from his body, that blood was to atone for their sins, the death penalty for my sins and yours. And you and I, he prayed for the soldiers, and he prayed for you and I. And we have a mounting debt of sin that can never pay, not with religion, not with works, because Jesus paid it all. He paid in full. Peter puts it this way, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with silver and gold," you can't buy salvation. If you could, somebody would be trying to buy it. "But you're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot," the only blood, precious blood, only blood that would atone for sin. Amen. And so we know that's what Jesus came to do. He came to be the perfect Lamb of God. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming one day and he says, "Behold, that's the Lamb of God that will really take away the sins of the world." Hallelujah. So it was a cross of redemption. The reason for this cross, God loved mankind whom he created in his likeness and image. He judged his own Son in our place. We should have been there. But he took it on himself. He was wounded for our transgressions. He had none. He was bruised for our iniquities. He didn't have any iniquities. He was chastised for our peace, and with his stripes we were healed. Amen. I know we've heard it time and time again, but I never get tired of it. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Should not perish, because they should believe. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When there was no reason whatsoever that God should have compassion or mercy upon sinful mankind that blasphemed his name continually, yet he laid down his life for me and for you because he cared. He loves us. Amen. A never-ending love. A love far beyond what we're able to completely understand. The love of God is eternal and goes on. And he will love you forever. Praise the Lord. So it was the cross of redemption. Last of all, we get here the cross of reception. Somewhere in this one thief began to realize how guilty he was. And I'm sure that at first he's, you know, if you read the other passages, they both begin to mock Jesus. But after a while, this other thief, he said, "You know, this guy up here on the middle cross, there's something he's saying that means something. Surely he shouldn't have to die like this. We're thieves, we're robbers, we've done our thing, we're getting what we deserve, we're getting what's got coming." Amen. I don't know if I said that right. He realized he was guilty and deserving of death. Verse 41, he says, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds." Somehow faith came into this man. And he talks about Jesus on the middle cross. He says, "This man has done nothing wrong." He recognized that the man on the middle cross was not guilty of anything. Man. He acknowledged Christ's innocence. And he asked for one thing that God will not turn away, and that's mercy. And so he asked for mercy. You know, he had no way to repay the losses he had caused. He had no time to relive a different life. This was it. He would die. Life as he knew it was gone forever. Only God's grace and mercy was left. That was all that was left. But I want to tell you, God's mercy and God's grace is always enough. The Bible says his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. And so, verse 42, then he said to Jesus, "Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" Here he is bleeding and dying, and knowing he was dying just exactly for what he had done, crimes he had committed, people he had robbed, took things from other people, and he had not paid for. Amen. He took people's hard-earned money and stole it and used it on himself. That still happens today. It happens every day. He said, I got no reason to come to you, Lord. There's not anything I can do to repay. I can't get up and go make things right. I can't repay people I've robbed and murdered and stolen from. I can't do anything. Do you know, for 3 dark hours, for 3 hours, darkness would come from 12 o'clock noon to 3 o'clock. Jesus was there paying for sins. Perhaps it was quiet. Maybe the only noise was the blood of Jesus dripping onto the floor of the cross, the ground. But that blood was dripping for me and for you as he stood there, hung there paying for my sins and yours. And the thief says, Lord, if you can do anything for me, can you do anything for me? I'd like to be with you in your kingdom. Would you have mercy on me? And his response was mercy extended. The blood that day paid for the thief's sins. The words of Jesus. This was the Son of God. This was the words that created the universe and put all the planets and stars into place. This voice said, assuredly I say to you, today you're going to be with me in paradise. That would just be seconds away. He would drop without mercy into a godless hell that's as literal as the Bible says it is. But Jesus said, instead, you've cried out to me for mercy. My mercy is good. Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. When I die, you're going to live forever. He had nothing to offer, nothing but a wasted life. We have nothing to offer him today except ourselves. I'm reminded of the song that says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Well, Jesus, I'm coming home. There's people that need to come home today. People need to come to Christ today. I have nothing to offer God, but God has something to offer us. He receives us. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, be saved. Amen. We all fall into one of two categories. We are either like the thief who rejected Christ, or as the one who humbled himself. Because we will all come to our end. Either we will be judged for our sins, or by faith our sins are nailed to his cross. I'm glad it doesn't stop there. We'll have a Resurrection Sunday coming, praise the Lord. Jesus laid down his life. He suffered every pain you could suffer, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, when he suffered the guilt and the shame for my sins and yours, and paid for it with his blood at the cross. Amen. The three crosses, cross of rejection, the cross of redemption, the cross of reception. Amen.